Hey guys, we're doing something different today. This is the first time I'm interviewing somebody on this YouTube channel. Father Cristino Bouvet from the Calgary Diocese and I have an unscripted conversation about should we take the COVID vaccine. I hope you're blessed by this conversation.
Maybe it'd be useful for the audience to know, how did we first connect? Because I think you have some insights into that. Your memory's better than mine.
Well, I hope I'm not just making all of this up, but the recollection that I have is that you were still working with the organization that you founded, Face to Face Ministries, and you came out to lead a retreat, a youth retreat, at Our Lady of Victory Camp up in central Alberta there.
Yes.
When I was a seminarian. And oh. I think I had an opportunity to be there in the summer, and that's how we were first introduced. And I had already known your brother. One of your younger brothers, who is a very dear friend of mine, Father Dan Yazinski, at the time also still a seminarian. And so, yeah, I think we just really hit it off then. And after that, we invited you back out to Calgary during my internship, where I was serving in a parish, St. Bonaventure Parish, during my pastoral year as a seminarian. This is going all the way back to 2010. And you and Janelle came together, and we had three couples who were newly married and all expecting their first child that helped facilitate a retreat with our young men and young women in the parish youth group.
I forgot about that.
Yes.
And if I recall, our sleeping accommodations, you gave us bunk beds on our first year anniversary.
Yes. I remember feeling very embarrassed about that.
I remember that now.
But if you remember, I bought you a potted plant and put it on one of the bunks as a gift yeah. in honor of your anniversary, yes. since you
very
wouldn't be sharing a bed.
So our history goes through a lot of different ministry opportunities where we've been trying to just help people grow in relationship with Jesus, grow in love with the church, and grow in a life of holiness. And this is our conversation. Because people, my impression, feel really strained right now regarding COVID and the COVID vaccine. What should I do? How should I respond? And people are looking for answers. And I feel like there's so many different voices out there, so many different opinions. And I thought it would be very valuable for you to share some of your insights and just us kind of ramble on there. So here's the question, and we'll take it from here. Like we said, this is not scripted. But when people come to you and ask you the question, should I take the vaccine? Where's your starting point when answering that question?
I tell them that I won't answer that question.
Okay.
And there's a reason for that. That probably sounds like I'm sidestepping the issue or that I'm not comfortable or prepared. And it has nothing to do with my comfort level or my preparedness to talk on the matter. I have come to discover, especially in the last 3.5-4 years now, that I am working almost exclusively with university students and young adults, that we are encountering a phenomenon of what I would call a crisis of conscience. And that doesn't mean what it usually means anymore. It used to mean that someone who felt very convicted about their conscience was being forced to contradict it. What I think the crisis of conscience is now is that no one even knows they have one, or they don't know how to access it. And so when someone comes to me on a topic of such significance as you've just brought up, the COVID vaccine, I want to ask them, I want to challenge them to talk through with me where they are at with regard to the formation of their conscience. Because the easy way out is to have someone else tell you what to do. And I think that that's a danger in the life of the church right now in general. I'll speak just with regard to practicing Catholics. I think Catholics prefer to just have someone tell them what they're supposed to do or give them permission to do whatever they want. And that's...
Well, it's easier, isn't it?
Well, it's easier, yeah. It's easier because then you don't have to do the hard work of thinking. But we are rational creatures, okay? God created us to set us apart from the rest of his creation. And the way in which he did that was by giving us the capacity to know him. Not to just be subservient to him, not to just fit into the grand scheme of his design, but to actually know him and choose to participate in his will, to choose to participate in his life. And we have to access our consciences then. We can't just be given commands. He gave us the Ten Commandments, and they're pretty broad, and they take a lot of work to apply them every minute of our lives in the here and now. And that's where I prefer to start with people. So that's a long way of saying, I don't just tell them, yes, get the vaccine, or no, don't get the vaccine.
Okay, so what are some key questions that maybe you would go to a person with and say, have you considered this, to get them on that track of forming that conscience, as you mentioned?
Well, I usually ask someone, what research have you done about the vaccine? And some people come very well informed. They've really looked into it. They've researched different kinds of vaccines, the different companies that are producing. Here I'm speaking specifically of the one on all of our minds, the COVID vaccine. And in other cases, I realize that these people hoped they didn't have to do any research because they're sitting down with Father Cristino. So I trust Father Cristino. Can't you just tell me what to do? And that's why I like to start by asking them, what research have you already done? And generally people ask you because they're concerned. And so then I ask them, well, what are your concerns? What is it that's burdening you? Or why are you just not, without giving it a second thought, already planning to get the vaccine? Obviously, if you're asking, you're struggling with something. So talk a bit about that. Tell me what's going on. Why are you feeling like you're confronted by a difficult decision as opposed to something that should be as simple as whether you have ham or turkey for your sandwich at lunchtime?
Okay, I get that. Former conscience, God has given us a will and intellect. We need to use it. Is it realistic, however, to expect all people to do the same type of research? I'm thinking of maybe some seniors who just don't have the access or the technological ability to go online and to be able to pull forward that information. And they're sitting there, and they might, and many of them maybe on the mailing list will get this, and they're like, what am I to do? Or at least, how do I do that? Because I feel like maybe a younger generation, it's easier. You pick this thing up, you maybe go to the CDF, or maybe you have some other ideas of where a person could go. But is that a fair question to ask? Like, should we expect everyone to do the same level of research into this issue? And can they?
Well, I think it's obvious what you're saying is true, that not everyone will have the same access to information or even necessarily the same capacity to undertake that kind of research. But when I talk about research, I'm also not talking about it in the academic sense of the term, where you have to go and find some kind of online medical journals in order for you to consult. I think we seem to be forgetting that when we are living in a state of sanctifying grace, by virtue of our baptism, we believe God is dwelling in us, that the Blessed Trinity has come to reside in our hearts and our souls. And so when we need to make an important decision, we cannot underestimate the value of first starting with prayer. Prayer should be considered part of our research, if I can call it that. This is a question of some discernment, because if it wasn't, you wouldn't be bothered by it. And if you're bothered by it, you should be evaluating, why are you bothered? And this is to the second point that you made. I think the problem with getting to do any kind of effective research is it's hard to know anymore what is a trusted and reliable source of information. Because we have this modern phenomenon of not struggling to access information. We have an overabundance of information. You can't turn off the tap anymore. It comes flying at you constantly. It's at your fingertips, it's on your phone, on your tablet, on the radio, on the TV, on your computer, on your social media feeds. Everywhere you look, you're being bombarded by information. And so it takes us back to what I said before about this being a matter of discernment, right? Our tradition talks about the discernment of spirits, that we need to be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit when we are making any kind of important decision. And why am I unsettled? Well, maybe it's because I'm hearing contradictory or conflicting information everywhere I turn. Well, if that's the case, then that's a good sign to take a step back and say, okay, well, then I'm not going to make a decision right now because I can't seem to access information that is making it possible for me to move forward with peace. Everyone can do that.
Right. Okay. So here's the awkward thing. Okay. When someone comes to you and says, you know, should I take the vaccine? You point them and you guide them through a process of trying to form their conscience to make a decision, to ask them what research have they done. Wonderful. But here's the awkward thing, Father. The Pope hasn't done that. Our Holy Father, in a recent interview on July 10th with an Italian news agency, said, I believe that morally everyone must take the vaccine. It's the moral choice because it's about your life, but also about the life of others. That's a very different approach than what you're suggesting. And so in some Catholics' minds, it's a done deal. Well, the Pope has said it, so do I even have freedom then not to take it? It almost implies that we're being irresponsible if we don't take the vaccine. So there's this tension, and I don't know how else to explain it, but just to say it seems clear that Pope Francis wants people to take the vaccine.
Yes, that's very clear.
How do we respond to that? To be a good Catholic, does that mean we need to take the vaccine?
Well, I ask, first of all, the question, wherever there is inconsistency, there is a problem. Because if there's inconsistency, then there's at least the opening, if not the outright accomplishment, of irrationality. The hallmark sign that something is acting contrary to reason is that there is inconsistency. Now, don't get me wrong, okay, I am not calling the Pope irrational. I'm not saying anything about the Pope. I can't. What can I say about him? He says what he says. And this is part of the problem. Just because someone says something, what does that mean? It's the exact same thing as the person coming to me and saying, Father Cristino, you tell me. The Pope is not your conscience. There's something very interesting going on here. Blessed, or now Saint John Henry Cardinal Newman, he referred to the conscience as the aboriginal vicar of Christ. What is he getting at there? He is saying to us that the voice of Christ is first encountered and heard in the absolute first instance of the rational soul, in our conscience. We call the Pope the Vicar of Christ on earth, and so he is. But he is not the lone and exclusive arbiter of all truth. There's a reason we call him the Vicar of Christ. I have also this title. I'm called the Vicar for Vocations and Young Adults. All that means is I'm the guy representing the person who actually is concerned about this. The church has one voice of truth, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And the Pope is his vicar because he's not the head. That's our ecclesiology. That's our theology. That is not at all to diminish the role. It is essential. It is what preserves our unity. But because the Pope opened his mouth, now that means truth has spoken and nothing else can be asked or questioned. That's not what we have ever believed. But I will say this. For a long time, many Catholics who desire to be sincere and authentic practicers of the Catholic faith did kind of operate under that assumption. If JP2, our beloved St. John Paul the Great, or Pope Benedict XVI said it, well, then I guess it's true. So what is there left to talk about? I think we set ourselves into a bit of a problem adopting that mentality if we stopped trying to wrestle with the things that they spoke about, not to contradict them, not to oppose them, but we got lazy. And I don't think Pope Francis would want us to be lazy either. In fact, Pope Francis has regularly commented upon the role of conscience. And unfortunately, I don't know how else to put this, but there is an inconsistency between what the Pope says on his own steam sometimes and what the official organs of the structure that he is in charge of, namely the teaching offices of the Vatican. The Vatican bulletin that came out from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith before the Pope made that statement made it explicitly clear that people must be free to refuse the vaccine, because it is a matter of conscience. That was explicitly stated. Well, then the Pope came and said, he thinks everyone should get it. Well, with all due respect to the Pope, that's just his opinion. And it's actually not even possible to apply because the experts have given us a whole list of people who aren't supposed to get the vaccine. People who are immune compromised, pregnant women. We don't know yet the status of people who have already had COVID-19, whether they should be getting the vaccine or not. There isn't a blanket answer to this question. It's the experts themselves who are telling us that. So for the Pope to come along and say it, that's fine. It's his opinion. Generally, when we hear Pope Francis, I think we've all learned by now that there is more beneath the surface that will over time become clear than whatever is the thing he just said off of the cuff whenever he said it. But I can't stop coming back to this issue of not relativism. The access of our conscience is not relativism, where you just get to choose and do whatever you want because it's your truth. It means that there is a truth, the truth, and I have the responsibility to align my conscience with that truth. And that means sometimes we will make mistakes and we will fail, and then we have to make just restitution if possible. We have to repent if we have sinned. We have to be open to correction. But we have to make the decision, and then we have to answer for it.
A statement, though, causes confusion. You know, and I try sometimes, how does a priest respond to that? Because I've seen, since the rollout of the vaccine in the United States and then Pope Francis's comments, I've seen my social media feed, just to give you an idea. So my friends is maxed out at 5,000 people. Then it's connected to my like page, which has 55,000 people. So when I'm flipping through the news feed of Facebook, for example, it's populated with stuff from all over. It's just not local to our area, but it's all over. So what I've noticed since that point was, I believe sincere priests who are trying to do good for the people that they serve, they obviously truly believe that the vaccine is a good thing to get, at least for some people, because they're taking selfies of themselves, getting the shot. And I'm just, when I see that, it just rubs me the wrong way. I'm just wondering if it sends the wrong message as a pastor of a parish. How would you respond to that?
Well, I usually don't just respond in one straightforward way.
I know you don't. That you like to set the foundation, give the rational thinking, and lead it up, lead us up there, which is fine. And that's why it's good to talk to you.
Well, and that's why we're having this conversation. This is what's missing. Okay, a selfie isn't a conversation. When you post your comments on social media and then they get removed or they get fact-checked, that's not a conversation. Conversation means there needs to be room to say erroneous things so that you can be corrected. Okay? That's why I am cautious about just throwing out the first thing that comes to mind, because it can lead to more confusion. But the bottom line is sometimes there's just already confusion there. Right? This is happening in the church right now. People complain about something that someone says that they know will upset somebody else, and they call that a cause of division. I said, well, I don't know. Maybe I'm living in some la-la land, but if you can't already see division all over the place, everywhere around you, and you think I just caused a division, we are blind then, okay? It's everywhere. The way we heal that division, the way we heal the confusion, is by being who we were made to be, which is rational creatures, and we communicate our rationality through our speech. We talk. That's what we do. We talk. God creates by speaking. He speaks and it comes into being. Let there be light, and there was light. What do we call the second person of the Blessed Trinity? The Word. The Word of God. The Word became flesh. We need to talk. We need to have rational discourse. And that is what is missing. We can't just throw things out by sound bites. We can't just take selfies and have bumper stickers. We are bombarded by slogans. I am sick to death of the slogans that get thrown out, and that become out of every email now that ends with "stay safe." What does that mean? We don't even know what we mean. We don't even know what we mean by the things that we say anymore. We say them because, well, that's the slogan that we use now. So this is what needs to happen. And there will be people who will hear me and say, I want him to just be more explicit and say, the vaccine is evil, don't get the vaccine. And there will be other people who will say that that priest should, he's being irresponsible because he's not telling everyone to get the vaccine. And then there will be other people who will say, I don't think this conversation was very helpful at all because he didn't say anything. Well, all of those points need to be brought to the table so that we can talk about it, not just post a little soundbite on social media about it. And so, as a priest, I have a responsibility. As a shepherd of souls, I have a responsibility to facilitate discussion, to get people talking, to take the contents of their mind out of their mind and from outside of their echo chambers so that we can talk together. And if we don't do that, we will not get anywhere. We will not access the truth. And that's why I am reluctant to, I will not go on social media and say, do this or don't do that. And when some of my brother priests do, I can only hope that what they're doing is manifesting the contents of their conscience. Right? They've resolved the question. That's fine. They resolved it for themselves. But their resolution does not necessarily become your answer. And if there's not room to talk about that, we will not get any further ahead.
Practically speaking, how or where would you encourage someone to go to start forming that conscience to make good decisions regarding should they get the vaccine or not? Like, what are some good starting points?
First, look for the opposite opinion of what you're inclined to believe. So if you think, oh, this vaccine is bogus, then go and start looking for information that answers all of the myths about the vaccine. Read something, ask some professional who you think has something intelligent to say. This is part of what I have done, okay? So I'll share with you a little bit of my own research. I will tell you, my gut instinct when I heard about this vaccine was, this is no good. Now, this was before I knew anything else about the ethical questions that were surrounding the manner in which it was tested and whether or not aborted fetal stem cell lines were used. And it, my gut instinct was, this is not good. We allegedly discovered this virus in February, and in December we have a vaccine. I just said, that's, to me, way too fast. Then I found an article online with the title, "Do you think the vaccine was made too fast? Here's a few reasons why it wasn't." So, okay, I'm going to read it. And there were some very interesting things in there that had to do with access to funding and cutting bureaucracy and getting around red tape and the entire world all wanting to get it at the same time. And so everyone came together. And I can't dispute any of those things. All of those things made sense. Then I started looking for information about testing. How was it experimented with? And I'm mistaken, maybe I looked in the wrong place, but I was alarmed to discover that it never was brought to animal testing. And I said, okay, well, now I'm back to being a little bit nervous again. Well, I'll tell you the truth. At this very moment, I'm still doing my research. I'm still asking questions. I had never heard of mRNA. I didn't know what that meant. Then I read something about this vaccine is going to go in and change your DNA. And right away I said, that doesn't make sense because DNA is not RNA. But that's all I know. I don't know anything other than that. So I asked a friend of mine who teaches science and biology at the high school level. She's gone and done a master's degree in further studies with science. And I asked her if she could just explain to me what does this mean? And so she just walked me through, how does it work? What does it mean? What does it not mean? And I felt very enlightened after that. And occasionally I'd hear people start commenting about, mRNA this. And I'd say, well, actually, that's not my understanding. I actually think what it does is do this. But now I'll tell you another experience I've had, which is talking to other people, physicians, scientists, people involved in research at the university. I work with universities now. And I'm regularly met with a response to some of my questions that says, well, we don't have data on that yet. Okay, that's a totally fair and understandable answer. If you don't have data, you can't just make it up. But that answer points to something else. That I have, as uneducated as I am in these matters, thought to ask this question. And the answer to that question is, we can't answer that question right now. Okay, well,
if I want to have that question answered before making a decision, well, then I guess that means I have to wait.
So this is the kind of process that we should be going through. I don't think that it's just easily resolved because one person, one place said in one article X, and so nothing left to think about.
What you see strikes me as really reasonable. But what we see on mainstream media is something different. There seems to be a tremendous urgency to make a decision right now, get herd immunity, vaccinate as many people as possible. And there isn't that let's see how this goes mentality. And I'm wondering if a person's watching just the media, they feel maybe a little pressured to make a decision really quickly. But you're saying, you're saying it's okay just to slow down a little bit, take some time to think instead of jumping at the very first opportunity to get the vaccine.
Absolutely.
That's an appropriate response.
I can't comment upon the amount of time, the window of time that we have to get everybody or as many people as possible vaccinated in order to reach herd immunity, in order for, I can't comment on those things. But no one has the authority to tell me that I have to make a decision about my body and my health, which as the steward of something that is not mine, but was given to me, my body and my life is a gift to me from God. I am the steward of something that does not belong to me. I have the responsibility to do what I can to take as good of care of it as I can. And so no one can come and tell you, you make this decision right now. They can tell you what are the implications of you taking too long to make the decision. And that's fine. I'm very open to hearing that. But as we have this conversation about how urgently everyone needs to agree right now that they're going to get vaccinated, we don't have any of the vaccinations available. I mean, I'm here in Alberta. There's nothing left. We're waiting. We don't know when it's coming, when we get the next shipment. We don't know how many it's going to be. So, yeah, we can all be going off in this frenzy, but there's nothing we can do about it right now anyhow. Mm. You know, I'm half Italian, if you didn't notice with all of my hand waving. There's an old saying in Italian. I have an aunt who every time I get all excited about something, she says, piano, 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 piano. Slow down. Calm down. And I think we need to just do a little bit of piano, piano, and think, and listen, and ask questions, and have conversations, and not shut someone down because they say something that you think is wrong. If you think it's wrong, correct them. Explain to them where you think they've gone wrong. Or, even worse, let them finish talking, and listen, and then ask yourself whether you might have it right or wrong before you jump in to have the debate. That's where I think we just don't seem to have enough of that. And the mainstream media doesn't help because they control the airwaves. So here's what you're going to hear tonight. And it's true and you can't prove us wrong. How do you argue with that?
Okay, we are going to wrap this up here. Any final comments that you want to share with people? Any holes that you feel like you want to fill in? Or are we good to close it up?
All I'll say is trust your gut. Trust your gut. If the conscience is, as St. John Henry Newman called it, the aboriginal vicar of Christ, if you are accessing the sacraments, if you are praying, then the Blessed Trinity is dwelling in you and is speaking to you. And just because you arrive at a different conclusion than someone else doesn't necessarily mean that you're wrong. It doesn't mean that you're right. All we can do is go through this life trying our best. The desire to please God already pleases Him. And that is what I'd like to hear. I'd like to hear the church talking about pleasing God. The decisions that we make, do they please God? That should be our first priority.
Beautiful. Father Cristino, it's a pleasure to have you here with us today. Will you do this again?
I would love to.
Great. Friends, thank you so much for watching today. If you feel blessed by this message, please share it with other people. We are so glad that you tuned in for this special episode of Catholic Minute. God bless you. Thank you so much, friends, for watching this video. Remember to hit that subscribe button and bell so that YouTube has to notify you of our next video. And share this video on Facebook. Let's spread the good news of our Catholic faith. And thank you so much to our Patreon members who have allowed us to make these videos possible. You guys are amazing.